I was 9 years old, and I felt this soul connection to Spain and just loved it. And he said, you know, Abby, take this, and when you walk the Camino, I'll be with you. It happened, and it was a great time because my brother and I could bond, kind of heal over the death of our parents. And it just was I knew it was the perfect time at that moment. Both my parents kind of visited me on the Camino, if you will, which was magical, which I'll tell you later, and remind me to talk about the stars aligning.
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for being today with us. And thank you for waking up so early.
You're welcome. Good morning, Jose. Glad to be here.
Hi, everyone, and welcome one more time to El Camino People, the podcast where we dive deep into the most transformative journeys of pilgrims along the Camino de Santiago. I am your host, José María Ardanaz, and in today's episode, we're joined by Abby Algers, a writer, a brand storyteller whose Camino experience along the Camino de Invierno, the Winter Way, left an indelible mark on her life. Abby's journey is a testament of the profound connections when we forgive ourselves, others, and the world around us, and we walk ancient paths and such an unknown Camino. Let me introduce her. Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for being today with us. And thank you for waking up so early.
You're welcome. Good morning, Jose. Glad to be here.
I'm so great. I'm like, we were chatting about, you know, sometimes people, and I think it's great to start, you know, the social media, we always see the bad part on social media, Facebook. But I think since COVID, for me, has created a way of meeting people and pilgrims from all over the world. And you and I just met totally randomly on LinkedIn. Thank you to a post. I don't even remember how or why.
I don't either, really. I all of a sudden we were connected. I have no idea why, but I'm glad we are.
Hi, me too. And the first question that I ask everyone, you know, for me, the Camino Santiago, and people probably are tired of me saying this right in front of my window. But how people from all over the world, from the States, from Australia, from Japan, from Asia, comes to my town, to Pamplona, comes from Spain to walk the Camino day after day after day. And in your case, how did you find out about the Camino Santiago? When was the first time that you remember that you hear about this crazy walk in Spain?
I was in La Alberca in Spain doing Pueblo Inglés. So I was volunteering for a week teaching English to a group of Spaniards. And we, during the course of the week, we have these, we call them one-to-one. So I would walk with a Spaniard completely in English, and then we would share our lives. And this one woman, Marife, said, oh, I'm doing the Camino after this week. And I was like, what is the Camino? And then she told me about it. And then I talked about it at dinner that night. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, the Camino. You have to do the Camino. So then I came home and I watched The Way, of course. And and I just put it on my bucket list, knowing that, you know, I knew that I would know when it was my time to do the Camino. So I was just kind of waiting for that time to come.
You talk about Pueblo. I'm like, but for the ones that don't know, how and what led you into going to Spain, and why that? I'm like, I'm going to go to Spain to volunteer in the middle of nowhere to teach English to Spaniards.
Exactly. Five times.
Five times.
Yes, I've done it six times. I did one Pueblo Español, five. So it's a program run in Spain where Spaniards go to a village for a week to learn English. American volunteers or English-speaking volunteers from all over the world come to work with Spaniards. So the reason I've done this so many times and would do it tomorrow, I love Spain. I've loved Spain since I was 9 years old. My brother was studying there in Madrid at the university, and my parents took me with them to visit him. And it was like, I was 9 years old, and I felt this soul connection to Spain and just loved it. And
you
went on to
study. With 9 years old to Spain.
Yes. And I was like, I'm like, this is my home. I mean, it just was very strange. And I've tried every opportunity to get back there. So I majored in Spain in college. I studied in Spain. And then I became a Spanish teacher and English teacher to keep coming back.
So we'll have and now to I write you in Spanish too.
Yeah. And now I write travel articles, always trying to get assignments in Spain. So
that's amazing. Yeah. What is it about Spain that so many people from out of Spain fell in love? You know, I think it's one of those countries you can fall in love with Asia. You can fall in love with some of these more, let's say, esoteric countries. But nowadays, I think more and more people are switching towards Spain or, you know, European countries. Why?
I completely agree. And I think it's just, it's the feeling in Spain. It's the relaxed feeling, the great people. One night I was with my Spanish friends in Segovia, and we were in this square. It was 11 o'clock at night. Kids were running around, you know, people were having drinks, tapas. And it's just, you don't get that in the States. You're not, nobody's out at 11 o'clock, you know. It's just an amazing atmosphere that I can't get enough of, actually.
I think I agree. After living abroad, I think the relaxed time, we have the good and the bad, but I think also the bad things made up for the good. Like, we are more relaxed, you know, time. But I think the quality of life that we have here, just suddenly there was a report about Pamplona being the top place in Spain of quality of life. So
you seriously? Want to
move, remember Pamplona. Yep, great place.
Yes, okay.
No, because it's my town. Huh? And then after volunteering, you have your Spanish, but when did the Camino came out? When was the time that you say, you know, I need to go and walk the Camino?
Yeah. So just 2 seconds back to that trip to Spain, I came back home to the States and I told my parents, who were in their, they were in their 80s at the time. I'm like, Mom and Dad, I need to do the Camino. And they were very active 80 some year olds and said, yeah, you know, gosh, I wish we were 20 years younger. We would do the Camino too. And about that same time, my dad went on this trip to Canada to fish in the Boundary Waters. And he found a tree branch when he was walking and used it as his walking stick. And then I saw that stick when I was telling them about the Camino. And I said, Dad, I need that stick when I walk the Camino. So later he gave it to me, and I have it right here. And he said, you know, Abby, take this. And when you walk the Camino, I'll be with you. And well, I was you know, thinking, okay, someday I'll walk the Camino. Well, fast forward to 2020, and it was really a rough year, you know, for everyone. But both of my parents passed in 2020. Oh. So it was terrible. Like, my dad passed in May, my mom in December, and it was just in the midst of all the turmoil. So I just had the Camino on the back of my mind. And, but didn't really think it was going to happen anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And then in 2022, my sister-in-law actually did Pueblo Español and thought, well, as long as I'm over there, I should do the Camino with my friend. And then she said, why don't I get Tim, my husband, who's my brother, who I visited in Spain the first mm-hmm. time, I'll tell Tim to come and then our kids can come. And then she's like, well, I have to ask Abby because she's the one who told me about Pueblo Inglés. So it was all a full circle moment and everything came together in 2022 to walk the Camino. So that's kind of how it happened. And it was a great time because my brother and I could bond, kind of heal over the death of our parents. And it just was I knew it was the perfect time at that moment.
It's incredible how the stars align when you have to walk the Camino Santiago. Like, a lot of people say you decide. I'm like, nah, the Camino calls you. There's things that put the movement in motion, but there's always that is why and how, we don't know. But I would say 90% of the people that I met in the Camino, there's some kind of like, call it whatever you want, but there's some kind of like magic.
It is really true. And then another aspect of the stars aligning, which I'll get into later, came with a story about my mom. Both my parents kind of visited me on the Camino, if you will, which was magical, which I'll tell you later, and remind me to talk about the stars aligning.
Of course. And then you start the planning, but as we talked at the beginning, I'm like, you didn't walk the normal Camino. It's usually when people know, and I'm like, you being a writer, most people say Camino Frances, that's the first one. And if you're walking with the family, or you say Camino Portuguese, now that it's getting a lot more vibe. But how did you decide to walk the Camino de Invierno?
Well, I was completely out of the planning stages. However, the person who did chose the Camino de Invierno because they only had a week. This time it was my sister-in-law and her friend, and they knew they only had a week to walk it, and they wanted enough kilometers to get the Compostela. Mm-hmm. So number one, the Camino de Invierno looked like an easy route to do that. So that's really why. And it looked like it was less technical, less mountainous climbs. However, I beg to differ.
Oh, that's so creepy. It's usually like when you say the Camino de Invierno, it's kind of like harder than the Camino Frances, you know, less, more trickier, more hiking, also less facilities. There's no bars, no restaurants, almost very few hotels. Beautiful. Don't get me wrong, it's amazing.
Yes.
But I'm like, none of the easy, super, I'm like, if you want to do the easy, do the Sarria Santiago 5 days, Compostela, go.
You're absolutely right. And when I realized that when we were out there, I was a little disappointed because I remembered watching the way and seeing all the people, mm-hmm. you know, so I thought, well, if we don't have people surrounding us, is it going to feel like a real Camino? Because really there aren't a lot of people on that on the Camino. And the other thing is there's not a lot of villages. So you kind of have to carry your water and your, you know, snacks mm-hmm. or whatever with you.
No, there's no bars to have tortilla or cafe con leche right in the middle of the day.
Right. And if you do stumble upon one, stop because it's amazing, you know. But it turned out we had a group of 13 people, my brother, his family, and then my sister-in-law's family. And it was just the perfect size, even though that seems like it would be hard to travel with that many people. It was like mm-hmm. we were our own clan. We were our Camino family. And we could keep track of each other because there weren't all these people on the trail. So it was nice.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people, when they go to walk in the Camino with family, or walk in the Camino with your partner, or walk in the Camino alone, I think each one gives you a different perspective, and depending on what you're looking for. And in your case, as you were saying, you know, like that was your Camino family. And in your case, it was really your family. But how is the dynamic of walking with that group, I would say, so big?
It was, you know, it worked out perfectly, which really, if I tell people that, they're like, really? You know, no problems. And I mean, we had people ranging from in their, I think, early 60s, my sister-in-law's sisters were, down to we had some 20-somethings. So, I mean, there were a lot of personalities mm-hmm. and, you know, just people want to do different things. But it kind of all just, it worked out, which I call the magic of the Camino also. We all kind of worked well together, helped each other out. It was amazing.
Did you plan everything in advance? Were you, everything was booked or?
Yes. The person who organized the trip, her name is Tammy. She kind of gave us a template. We went to booking.com and booked all of our hotels in advance, just so we'd be guaranteed that for us mm-hmm. all to be in the same place. And that worked out really well. We stayed at a lot of smaller albergues and family owned. And it was just, we felt like we were, you know, cause there weren't a lot of pilgrims on the Camino at that time of year either mm-hmm. in September. So we were kind of like VIPs. There weren't, you know, the albergue owners were so happy to have us. So it was great.
Yeah. I'm like, probably most of the places, it was just probably just your group. I don't think many people.
It really was. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of more Camino magic. One night we were there and I'm from Wisconsin, a Milwaukee area. And there was a couple from Milwaukee. I'm like, how does this happen? That we're, you know, it's just
in the middle of Spain, in the Camino de Invierno, one of the less walked Caminos.
In our albergue. I just was like, I don't understand this, but it's part of the magic.
That's hilarious. But I think, as you say, you know, when you walk with a family or you walk with a group, the having everything booked and arranged gives you the flow to be able to enjoy the trip. And the trip in that case is not about, it's about being a family together and just having fun. It's not as the same as when you go by yourself. That is like, whatever the Camino leads me, it's a big difference.
Exactly. I think it would have been a trouble if we would have had, you know, all like, oh I want to stay here. I want to stay here. No, let you know. So it was great to have our set plan.
Yeah. And how was the living with a family 24/7, brothers, nephews, the whole every day, the walking pace? How was people dealing with all of those things that when in a normal day, you know, I'm like, when we get Christmas, it's just a nightmare. But I can imagine for 6 days in a row.
That's a very good question. It was, and I tell people this, it was fine. It was great. It was amazing. But I think it's because we all just kind of, like I would start out walking maybe with my brother, just he and I would walk. And then all of a sudden, maybe we'd stop for water and he'd go on, walk with his wife. And then I'd walk with someone else. We kind of just, you know, like it was like a cocktail party. When you talk to different people, you're like, oh, I'm going to talk to her now. So we just kind of migrated throughout the group, the whole trip. And it kind of was a cool dynamic doing that.
And did you discover anything new from any of the members of your family, something that you never knew or a different point of view from them?
Yes, I did. Yes. It was interesting to just have conversations with my brother. It was nice to just be, you know, because like you said, like at Christmas, everybody's there. It's kind of like, you don't really have any one-to-one conversations with people. So we had some nice conversations, especially after everything, you know, in 2020. I had some great conversations with my niece and nephew, who I don't see that often. So they were, you know, in kind of good bonding experiences that we talk about now. So we made some nice memories along the way.
And you were saying, you know, that when you first connected with the Camino was in Pueblo, then after that you watched the movie The Way, that represents the Camino, I think, in a proper way, but sometimes it's a little too, it's a movie. We have to be real.
Right.
It's not like, and you're not going to be invited by gypsies into a party. Sorry, that doesn't happen in Spain.
Right. We didn't.
We'll see what happens in the next movie, The Way, that is coming out soon. Yes. But how was this change? I'm like, suddenly here you are starting to walk the Camino de Invierno and you see that nothing is similar to what you saw on The Way.
Yeah. It seemed more, you know, when I thought about the Camino before doing it, even after watching The Way, it seemed like this big, scary thing, like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so hard. But in reality, you know, I looked at a map before I went. My husband was helping me plan it. And he's like, you know, it's kind of like walking from Madison to Milwaukee. And I'm like, well, thanks for saying it that way. You know, it's not as big as we think, but when we're out there, it's bigger than we think, but not in a bad way. It's, you know, it's doable. And it just felt more, I can't really describe it, but it was more real life and just like moments with yourself and just you're out there walking. You're walking past, you know, a farmer with his cows and, you know, horses along the way. It's just everything you expect will happen. And then everything you've never thought of too.
And that's the beauty of the Camino magic. Sometimes it's what you expect, sometimes it's what you weren't expecting, but the Camino gives you what you need in the moment.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly.
And you mentioned the concept of Camino magic, and I think it's one of those things that, you know, all pilgrims, we have tattooed on our skin. Can you describe some of those Camino magic moments that you experienced along the Camino de Invierno?
Yes, for sure. So before I went, I had heard some people talking about Camino magic and how the veil between heaven and earth is thinner on the Camino. Like, you know, I was very interested in that because, you know, I believe that we can, our loved ones are always with us and the connection is there. And, you know, people can believe what they like, but that's what I believe in. Along the Camino, I was hoping for signs of that. I was really hoping. But sometimes when you hope too much, it's like it doesn't come true and then you're disappointed.
Expectations. Don't go to the Camino with expectations because sometimes it may be different than what you expect.
Exactly. So before my mom died, my brothers were with her in her room and she had stopped talking. She was in hospice care. However, one night in the middle of the night, she woke up, sat up straight and said, I'll be a butterfly at Christmas. And my brothers were with her and they're like, what? I'll be a butterfly at Christmas? And then she went back to sleep. Okay. So my brothers told my sisters and I that, and that kind of stuck with me for, you know, after she died. I was teaching at the time virtually. I was on my computer with a student just about a week after my mom had passed, not even really paying attention. And my student, who was 7 years old, all of a sudden stopped what she was doing and said, the butterfly says, hi, Miss Algiers. And I was like, why did you say that, Yarelise? Why did you say that? And this little girl said, I don't know. So I took that definitely as a message from my mom. And since then, I got countless butterfly messages from my mom, kind of feeling like that's her sign to me, like, I'm here mm-hmm. with you. Okay. Fast forward to the Camino. After a long day of hiking, all of the 13 of us were gathered in the lobby of this albergue. Our rooms weren't ready, except for one of the rooms. Mary was a fellow pilgrim. Her room was ready. And she looked at me and saw that I would look so tired. And she's like, do you need to use our room? Do you need a bathroom or something? And I didn't, but I was like, well, okay, I'll go, you know, whatever. I'll just check out your room. So I didn't really even want to go to her room to check it out, but I did. So I go in there, went in the bathroom, butterfly shower curtains. So I'm like, in the middle of Spain, you live in Spain. I don't think a lot of albergues have butterfly shower curtains. So I took
And even if there's five of them, it's just the moment, the place, and the timing. You know, as I would say, sometimes you can see it as a coincidence. Sometimes right. when you're on the Camino, you see it as something much higher. And that depends on you. I see the way you see it. I see sometimes, you know, there's message and you just decide if you want to read them or not.
Right. And then one other time with the butterfly, when we finally reached Santiago, I was searching for a shop to buy some clothes because I needed warmer clothes or something. And I was communicating with my husband back at home who he does maps for a living. He's in GIS. So he was directing me, like telling me go right, go left down this street. And he's like, if you turn right at the next street, there's going to be three stores. You need to go to the first one. And I was like, okay. So I turned right. And the first one didn't look like my style. So I kept walking. But then all of a sudden, I literally stopped in the middle of my tracks, turned around, and went back to the first one. I'm like, what am I doing even? I walked in the store, looked around, and at the very back of the store was this butterfly t-shirt, three butterflies. It said, eternal soul, in the dark, look for the stars, or something like that. So it was like, okay, there's my second sign. I mean, and like you said, you can say, oh, you know, she just saw that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I felt it was really like, I felt called to do that. So that was wonderful. And then the final magical, well, there were others, but the other magical moment that's really remarkable is that I carried my dad's walking stick throughout Spain, you know, the whole way through. Several times I had left it, you know, next to the bar while getting my passport stamped. And every single time I did that, another one in my group said, Abby, you know, are you missing this? Mm-hmm. And they'd give it to me. Okay. One time I left it in a bathroom, Tammy found it, gave it to me. Great. Okay. So we get to Santiago on Saturday and we had arranged to have a mass at the Pilgrim Center in Santiago. Mm-hmm. We were going to go to the English speaking mass and, we had intentions for all of our parents who had passed. And since my parents passed in 2020, we really didn't have a formal funeral because mm-hmm. really couldn't.
Yeah, those times couldn't.
Yeah. So this was our opportunity to do it. So it was a very, you know, emotional, moving moment. The mass opened up with my mom's favorite How Great Thou Art song and closed with my dad's Amazing Grace. And it was just like, it was almost as if the whole event was mm-hmm. orchestrated. After that ceremony, my brother and his wife renewed their vows in this church, which was, you know, and several other couples in our group decided to. It was beautiful. So as I was watching my brother and his wife renew their vows, I looked around the church and I saw the candles and I just noticed there the box for the candles was somehow on the floor. And the box said St. Killian's, which is my parents' home parish, you know, back in the United States. So I'm like, again, just a coincidence, but hello. Okay.
What an incredible way of closing the Camino.
Yes. But then one more that was just like, proof that the veil between heaven and earth is thin. So if anybody out there is wondering if it's thin or not, it is thin. And this is why. I carried that walking stick. After the mass, we all decided to kind of go our separate ways, walk around Santiago. Mm-hmm. I get lost very easily, so I need my phone to guide me. So I noticed my phone was dying. So I went to a cell phone shop, to get a battery. Fine. Get my battery, walk around. Went back to my hotel and was telling my husband, you know, FaceTiming, saying, oh, it was amazing. We went to mass. And then I realized I don't have my walking stick. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I made it all the way here, you know, all the way here. We were going to take a bus to Finisterre after in a couple of hours. And I'm like, Eric, I have to find it. So I realized I must have left it at the cell phone store. So I got the address for the cell phone store, put it on my phone, had my husband in my ears, and I'm like weaving through Santiago to go back to the store. Luckily, it was there. You know, I went there and like, oh my gosh, thank God it was there. So I got my stick back. But then I had to get back to my hotel because I was meeting my group to go to Finisterre that night. I got lost. Even though it was an easy route, I ended up in a neighborhood, like a residential neighborhood in the middle of Santiago. I'd never seen the street. So just so you know, that point when you're lost and you realize you're lost, you kind of stop. Mm-hmm. So I stopped in my tracks, looked across the street. And at this point, I'm on the phone with my husband. And I'm like, oh my God, Eric. Oh, I can't even believe it. And he's thinking I'm going to get hit by a bus or I'm getting mugged or something, you know? And he said, what is it? And across the street was a building with three letters, JLA. That's all the building said, was little like letters, you know, big enough, like mm-hmm. numbers. My dad's initials are JLA. We called him JLA. He was a doctor. So his pager number was JLA151. I have never seen a building in Spain with three letters that say JLA. So just at that moment. So that was like, okay, he's saying the stick got you here. You're okay. You know, so that was just the best way to close the Camino.
That's amazing. That's what we were saying, you know, that's the times that if you want to believe, you know, what else do you need? But
right,
it is there.
Right, right. And it's there.
And, Go, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, and it was there for me, and everybody experiences their own version of the magic, and that's what changes you. That's
the beauty of the Camino. If you are open to it, it will happen. If you're looking for it, sometimes it may not, I mean, you may not see it, but it's there. And that's why so many people feel called to the Camino, and after you walk the Camino, you are like, you and I'm like, you know it's there. Exactly. There's no way to explain it. You can believe it or not, but is there? I'm like, what are the chances of all of that happening in that time period and everything? There's exactly. No way.
And it's kind of a metaphor for life. I thought about after, it kind of like you just need to let your life happen. And then you realize that you're being guided the whole time to find these things.
We need to listen. And every day we don't listen anymore. We just rush. We have so much things, so many things going on. We have the schedule, the agenda. You have all of these social media fun. And suddenly in the Camino, you are open.
Right.
And you let everything happen.
Right. That's true. That's probably why it happens, because you're open to it.
I guess that's the magic of the Camino. Sometimes it's that we let ourselves go and we go to the basics. Eat, walk, repeat.
Right.
And also, you know, for the Camino, you were saying that you thought that the Camino was going to be easy, but did you face any challenge during the Camino de Invierno? Because it's quite a tricky Camino.
It really is. Yes. Some days were easier than others. The second day, I wrote this down, was a 19.6 mile walk, okay, hike. And it was really, it was through the mountains. I mean, I said, who told me this was not through the mountains? Because we are going up some serious inclines. It was incredible. So that was very difficult. And then a couple days it rained, but not a lot. But it was, you know, that adds a challenge to it when it's pouring down rain. Yes.
And that's the thing. It's a Camino that is a lot of hike. And if it rains, it's going to be a tricky Camino. And you have a lot of days that is hiking and long distance days with nothing. And I think that makes it more harder, because there's no place to stop, have a coffee. And if it's raining, you're going to be wet by minute one.
Right, exactly. You know, this is my only Camino experience. And it was amazing. So I can't wait to do another one and just have a comparison, because I feel when I think of the Camino, I think of this one, and it was challenging, mm-hmm. but it was doable, and it was beautiful and interesting in its own way, you know?
And I think that's it. Every Camino is different in their own way. If I have to say, you know, I would never recommend the Camino de Invierno as a first Camino, because of that you don't have the feeling of that family. But if you do it the way you do it as a family, I'm like, it's perfect, because there's no other thing to do other than stay with your family. So if what your goal is that, to get the family bonding together and walk together, that's a perfect Camino.
I agree. Exactly.
But if you go by yourself, you're going to be, unless you're looking for solitude and being by yourself and you're going to have that experience, it's not a Camino that you're going to find a Camino family or that kind of stuff.
Definitely. And not a lot of places to stop or get support if you need it. If you're alone.
And you mentioned that you fell in love with Spain, with one of the people, the hospitality. And can you share some moments of your Camino de Invierno, what you felt that hospitality again?
Yes. The places where we stayed, it was in, I wrote this down. The second day, Chantada, I believe, we stayed at a little mm-hmm. albergue, a family-owned business. And when we got there, this was after the 19.6 mile tiring, you know, hike. Okay. So we're all tired. And my nephew had flown in. So he and his girlfriend were there waiting for us. And they had gone to the grocery store to get some chips and cheese and things like that. So they were waiting with this food. And it was just, that was like amazing. But we got to this albergue, and it's a family run business. So the son of the owners greeted us, and we felt like we were his best friend. I mean, he's like, oh, welcome. Here are your rooms. And since we were such a large group, we were basically the only people in the albergue, mm-hmm. except for the Milwaukee people. This is the instance where the Milwaukee people were there. We were the only people there, and they just treated us like family the entire time. The mom of the operation kept asking, do you have enough for breakfast? What else can I get you? It was incredible.
Yeah, that's the beauty of those little places. And even with the hotels, you know, a lot of people, they say that you missed a lot when you go, but all these small run business, they are families, and it's just that they're welcoming. And again, thanks to the Camino, and thanks sometimes to the pilgrims, is that why these families are able to keep their way of living. So when people Definitely. Sometimes complain about many Caminos, I'm like, that's really, in Spain, a lot of villages are alive thanks to that. If not, they will be gone.
Oh, definitely. And I tried to include them. I wrote an article for Go Nomad, and I tried to include the name of the albergue and pictures of the people in my article, just in hopes that, you know, because when you're reserving your accommodations, you never know what it's going to be mm-hmm. like. But
yeah.
The recommendations I made are just really because of the people running the albergues. The rooms were wonderful. They were amazing, but that wasn't even the point of it. It was just the feeling you got while you were there.
It's why the Camino people start. Like for me, when all of this began in 2017 and I walked my first Camino, I was like impressed that every website of the Camino was like, you know, pictures, the sightseeing, the albergues. I'm like, nobody talk about the people. And what I remember from my first Camino is not the place where I sleep, it's the person that ran the place, how they welcomed me, the person that I met, the guy from the bar. That's what I remember from the Camino. And I think that's what makes the Camino different.
I completely agree with you. Completely.
And without the people, there is no Camino. I'm like, there's no pilgrims, there's no anyone. Why? There's no point. Even if we have the best hotels, best albergues, best bars, best food, there's nothing.
Right. And every person that we met, like we took a taxi the first day from our hotel to the starting point. That experience was so interesting. He was telling us about different things to watch for on the Camino. You know, every just individual we came across was just incredible. Like one day we were walking and we stumbled upon this little bar in the middle of nowhere. And it was a couple from Italy who had done the Camino, I think in 2017, and had fallen in love with Spain. And they just left their lives in Italy, bought a farm and opened up this little bar in the middle. It was just that 1 hour experience watching them just so in their element. They had locals that were coming in. They were just like, everybody felt good there. It was amazing. It was just really cool.
How do you think, you know, a Camino like this, that is less travel, is more serene, contributes, you know, to personal growth and introspection?
I think you have no choice but to go inside when you're walking it, because, you know, I imagine, like what I've seen on the way in other Caminos, and I've talked to people, you know, when you have more villages that you come upon and stop for coffee, your brain clicks into a different mode where you're like, okay, well, in an hour we'll be here, so I can get some coffee or whatever. But when you know you've got 2 hours ahead of you, you kind of stop looking at your watch and you don't worry about that podcast that you want to listen to. You just kind of are in the moment, you know, and it just takes you to a different place and lets you to kind of click into the mode where you're walking, you're a pilgrim, you're out there. And I don't know, I do a million things a day. I'm just all over the board, but this made me really stop and reflect, which is what I needed.
Is there any place that you remember, like if you're thinking right now, the Camino de Invierno, what is the first place that comes to your mind?
Okay, what comes to my mind is, I believe it was Silleda. And we walked into the town. It was pouring rain. We're all together. We had our rain gear on, and luckily it had waited, and the weather had waited until like a half an hour before we got there. So it wasn't terrible, but we could barely see. We got to our hotel, and it was just, you know, everyone was so welcoming. It was this beautiful, it felt like in the Camino, in the way when they were at the Parador, and it was,
yeah,
just,
right.
It wasn't like that, but compared to an albergue, it was a spa hotel. It was like 59 euro a night. It was beautiful. It just was like, oh my gosh, we were dry. We were inside. So I think of that moment. And the other magical part of that moment in that day and that place, I went to my hotel room just to, you know, change. And every hotel I'd go in, I would videotape sort of for Instagram and different things. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't even looked at my room. So I was videotaping like, oh, here we are, you know, whatever. And I stopped in my tracks on the artwork on the wall. And I was like, are you even kidding me? The piece of art that this hotel had chosen was one that my Spanish teacher from my small town of Hartford, Wisconsin had done. She's a commercial artist. Her work had been sold. No, I'm not kidding. Her work had been sold to this hotel, you know, just this happens all the time. They bought her art. Sarah Van Beckham Fitzpatrick was right there. And in addition, she was not only my first Spanish teacher, but my dad delivered her. My dad was a doctor. He delivered her. She's my sister's best friend. So it was like, I don't even know how this is happening.
And like, if you do it in Madrid, you do it in Barcelona, you may think maybe a chain walks a million of, but in the Camino Inglés, or the Camino de Invierno, in the middle of nowhere, a small hotel, suddenly there, I'm like, what are the chances?
And she's not, I mean, she's a great artist. She's a wonderful artist, yeah. But it's not like she's in catalogs and, you know, it was just, and then I messaged her and she didn't even know her art had been picked up there. It was just, I mean, it was, so that moment, like, I kind of flashed to that day a lot because it was kind of the culmination of everything, all my worlds coming together and such a happy experience.
It's incredible how when you do the Camino, suddenly you realize that your Camino started many, many years ago and everything kind of like collides in that point that when you're realizing, you're like, okay, who is writing this story and why do I not know what's going on?
It's true. It's almost like it's part of your life timeline where you start realizing, you think back to all the moments that led you there. And like, this is your life. It's kind of like all these things come into play.
I think probably that as a writer, there's no way you can write a book with all of that, that, you know, like there's no imagination to write something that collides that well and, you know, matches perfectly.
Exactly. You can't make that up.
No, that's the quote.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can make that up.
At all. Yeah.
And you say that you love Spain already. You really have a big connection with Spain, but suddenly you start a totally different region. I'm like, well, always when we divide Spain, we say from Madrid, low is one kind of Spain. When Madrid up is another kind of Spain. The people on the north were so different. How do you think the immersion in the Galician culture and the Camino experience changed or enriched your knowledge from Spain?
I was so happy to learn about that area, and I love it. It feels a lot like where I live in Wisconsin. A lot of, mm-hmm. you know, like the forest area, the rolling terrain. So it felt very familiar to me. It felt charming. Like the villages were very charming. The weather was definitely, you know, cooler than other areas. The food, I really liked the Galician food. And yeah, so I liked it. And in fact, I returned 6 months later after the Camino to do a story on Holy Week, Semana Santa in Zamora. So that gave me more love and appreciation for that area.
I think we'll have to do just a podcast or a video for you and for Instagram, because the Semana Santa is the unknown for Americans. And like right now, there's already stuff going on Facebook. People complaining, people that don't know the story. I'm like, every year there is thousands and thousands of posts about what the heck are Spaniards doing with all of this. So I agree that would be a great, but we can go back. But for you as an American, but in your case it's different because you have the culture, you know, the Spain.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I think that's part of Spain, you know, but every country, even if you don't know the history, the traditions, just get the knowledge first before you talk, no? But we will go back one day to talk about the Semana Santa. But I think, what was your experience in a nutshell of Semana Santa in Zamora, one of the top places in Spain to live Semana Santa?
Oh, yeah. I would love to. Definitely.
And reflecting in your Camino, how has the Camino influenced, you know, the person that started the Camino, the person that was in the Pueblo, and the person that finished the Camino? How has it changed?
I guess it's kind of restored my my faith in the fact that, like, there is a plan for our lives, you know, like, mm-hmm. and, you know, just like I was reflecting, just like on the Camino, you have really bad moments. You know, I had my backpack kept falling apart. It would just like come off the buckle. It was so, it's the worst thing to happen, to have your backpack keep falling off, which was a terrible thing. I mean, when you're hiking, but my brother was there, like every time it broke, he helped me. And that was a great bonding moment. And it made me see that even when something bad happens, there's good in it, you know, and it makes you stop and pause, take care of it and move on. Just kind of in life, you know, you have a problem, figure it out, move on, and just appreciate that there are all these resources just at your fingertips to help you, you know, with anything. So I guess it restored, not that I needed restoring in my faith in humanity, but, you know, just the fact that we're all kind of there for each other and to help each other out.
Like to sign it up and remember you that, people are great. People, you know, mostly everybody's really good. It's just sometimes bad things happen, but everybody's really, really nice. And how was the arrival to Santiago? Because that's one of the things that a lot of people, you know, when they talk about arriving to Santiago, for some people it's just meh, for some people it's for some people it's, when, you know, amazing. In your case, how was the arriving with your whole family to Santiago?
It was really cool and it was really great. It's funny, the lunch that we had together, like a picnic lunch right before we walked in, we were kind of taking our time. We weren't rushing. And my brother, I think, mentioned it first, and he said, you know, I'm glad we're going to get there today, but I'm kind of sad also because mm-hmm. I don't want the experience to be over. So then by the time we got there, we were all kind of, you know, just in our own world. I gave my brother the walking stick at that point so he hadn't carried it at all. So I'm like, you and Dad, you know, like, this is your walk in together. I just thought it was kind of cool. And then we got there and it was, you know, it was very emotional and very moving. And yeah.
That's missing. And also for so many people, you know, a lot of people, they don't know that you can walk the Camino for someone that has passed, that you can get a Compostela in memorial for the person that has passed.
Oh, and I actually, so I, you know, going in with the theme of Michael Douglas in the movie, The Way, when he had it written, his Compostela and his son's, I had somehow gotten two pilgrim passports. I ordered two, or I think I ordered one and my sister-in-law gave me one. So I don't want to get in trouble with the Camino police, but every time I went to get my passport stamped, I took both of them out. So when I got to the tourist office, I had two Compostelas made, one with my name and one with Jim Dorothy Algiers. I combined my parents' names because I felt like they were there the whole time too. They deserve a Compostela.
And I think that's a beautiful way. The proper way of the way they do it is that they do and they add the name of the person that you want to the Compostela. But what I tell everyone is like, get a credencial with your family member or your friend. I'm like, there's nothing wrong on that. And once you get to the office, explain it to the person. And there, sometimes they don't even know that you can do a Compostela in memoriam. So sometimes you have to explain and they need to ask because they're volunteers. But for everybody that is listening, go and do it. It's something that is written. It's something that you're allowed to. And if you can get a Compostela, I think it's the most beautiful thing that, you know, they walk with us, really. So why not?
Yes, that's the legal way to do it. That's a good suggestion. My sneaky, that's really, I didn't realize that. That is good to
But know. Again, you know, it's like right now, if you do the Camino with an electric bike, you don't get a Compostela. I'm like, if you are a 70 years old doing the whole Camino Frances on an electric bike, are you telling me that that's not worth a Compostela?
Right.
So I'm a little bit there. You know, rules are there to break them sometimes.
Exactly. Especially in the Camino.
Yeah. And when you're doing for someone, I'm like, if the cause is big and great, why not? I'm like, what is the point?
Right.
It's not like you're cheating or trying to go ahead on anything. So, yeah.
Right.
And as a writer, as a storyteller, do you feel that the pilgrimage has inspired you to like look at things in a different way or to write new narratives or themes in your writing?
Yes, it really, especially in my travel writing, I realized when I was walking along the Camino, I didn't want to, you know, give a technical explanation of what you see along the way. You can, anybody can Google that, you know, 10 things to know about the Camino.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want that. I wanted to find people like all of the owners of albergues. I wanted to learn their stories and talk to as many people as I could on the Camino. So that's what I look for now, just in life. I mean, I think things that you can't Google are the interesting things in life, you know, like people's
stories. I think that can be my next book, Things That You Can Google About the Camino. I think that we have a book there because I agree with you. That's my new way of looking at things in life. And when I travel and everything, I'm like, really, the things that you can Google, that's what really sometimes matter.
It's true. AI can't do that for you, you know? Yeah.
It doesn't have to be technical. After reading your articles, sometimes when people is like, oh, I need to buy the guide for the Camino, and the guide of the Camino, like sometimes a memoir or something can give you a much better approach that sometimes you don't need the technical stuff. I'm like, that's there for Google and everything. And if you need it, you are, you know, a call away from the technical stuff, where to sleep, where to get a taxi. But the stories, the way you write your articles, the little things from the people that you met, that's the beautiful things. You know, if I go there, I want to meet the family that opened the albergue for you. And that's the kind of things that I'm looking for.
Yes, exactly. And that's the things that I can't stop thinking about. And that's why I want to do the Camino again. You know, I'm a runner. I love walking, but I don't go out hiking all the time here where I live, even though there's trails. Mm-hmm. So hiking isn't, I mean, but I did love that part of the Camino, but the Camino is what I want to do. I want to hike the Camino, no place else. You know, I mean, I don't know.
It's just, I get the feeling. For me, I've been a hiker, I'm a runner also, but hiking is different. You know, when I hike, I don't get the feeling. And as I said, you know, if you're looking for beautiful hiking, the Camino is not the place. I'm sorry, but some parts are ugly. There is road. The Camino has something different, and that's the beautiful of a pilgrimage. Sometimes I was discussing with a priest the other day, I'm like, what makes a pilgrimage a pilgrimage? I think it's the inside journey, but I think the Camino adds, you know, the people, the surroundings, everything adds up. And that's why doing, you know, a Camino is so different than doing the PCT or the Appalachian Trail or the Inca Trail. There is something in the Camino. There is some magic. I don't know what it is, but and why so many people call to walk the Camino. Don't tell me that is because of the beauty, because some parts are not that beauty.
I agree 100%. It's and a definite call.
You were saying, you know, that you're looking to the next Camino. So looking ahead, is there any Camino that is calling you? Do you have a time frame? Is this something that is already kind of like blinking and calling, or signs or butterflies appearing yes. in your everyday?
Well, good question. I would do one at any time. If somebody said, hey, I would love to walk a Camino in the fall. Would you plan the trip and walk with me? I would say yes. However, so that aside, my husband and I have plans to walk to do the whole Camino, I think Camino Frances, in about 3 or 4 years. So we're looking.
That's the we are retired Camino.
Kind of. But I was trying to convince him to do part of it this summer. We're coming to Spain, but he wants to do the whole thing at once, which is fine. But you know, and that's mm-hmm. another thing. When I was going on my trip in 2022, I thought, oh, it's only a week. You know, is it going to feel like doing a half marathon when mm-hmm. you want to do a marathon? You know, but I loved doing just a week of it. It gave me a great taste of it. And I met so many people that just every year they do it a week, a different, you know, section. So there's so many ways to do the Camino is what I kind of came away with.
I agree with you, and I think you know that's similar to the half marathon or the 10K. Like a 10K is fun, it's fast, and you get a lot of it. But the planning for a marathon, the previews, the pause, the running, I'm like, there's nothing like that. So if you're gonna do the Camino Frances, all in one chunk is perfect. It's the most perfect Camino, I think it is. 35 days, no time, no rush. But if you don't have the time, 10 days, a week, I'm like, it's perfect. It's just gonna be different,
and yeah,
you're gonna get hooked. Like everybody does.
Totally. That's a good point.
And if you have to tell someone that is listening that, you know, maybe haven't traveled yet to Spain or maybe traveled to Spain to the normal places, you know, because a lot of the tourists when, you know, talking about Spain is, oh, I go to Mallorca, I go to Barcelona, yeah. But they are thinking in a different way. And I think the Camino is the new slow travel, but with more, it's more than a slow traveling because it adds another layer to it. What would you tell them, to the people that is listening and they are thinking, maybe the Camino is for me, but I'm like, I'm used to go to hotels and relax, going to the beach, but I want to walk, I'm not sure.
I would say there's a way to make the Camino work for you. I mean, you can arrange any kind of Camino these days, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you just keep in mind what you need to be comfortable, you know, like if you can't carry your pack for across the street, you're not going to do it on the Camino, but that's okay because you can have your pack delivered for you every day and you're still walking the Camino. You don't have to have a backpack on, in my opinion, a backpack on your back to make it be a Camino. So you could go with a tour group, you know, or you could just plan your whole trip. And a couple members of our group had their packs transported from village to village. We just arranged it with a hotel. We had a cab driver come in the morning. They took mm-hmm. our stuff and it was perfect. So I think there's so many ways to walk the Camino that people shouldn't be intimidated. Oh, I can't do it because of X, Y, or Z, you know?
Yeah. And if you want, you know, even there's Caminos that you can do 10K a day if you cannot walk more than that, or if you want to sleep in your own room, if you want to sleep with people, there is so many different ways. And there is only one way, and it's your way. I think that's the best thing. If you respect everyone, I'm like, first of all, respecting the Camino, but carrying a backpack, sleeping on the floor, sleeping in an albergue, sleeping, doesn't matter. The Camino is much more than that.
Definitely agree.
And thank you so much, Abby, for joining us. I invite everyone, and we'll put the links to your blog and to the pieces that you wrote about the Camino Invierno, because I think they're great. And it's a great Camino that is still undiscovered, but there's, you know, developing little by little, and they're doing great things, the people from the villages. And I think, you know, a lot of people complain about new Caminos, about more Caminos, and I think the more Caminos, the better.
Yes.
Everybody deserves the Camino. More people will spread, more people will relax, more people will be healing the Camino, and they will find their way. So I hope we can see you soon, and I know you're coming soon. So we're almost close, and I hope that you have your Camino pretty soon. And as we always say in the Camino, buen camino, ultra ya.
Gracias, buen camino.